ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, as given to us by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, chapter number 26, Wonderful Krishna. Without understanding the intricacies of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and without knowing His uncommon spiritual opulences, the innocent cowherd boys and men of Vrindavan began to discuss the wonderful activities of Krishna, which surpass the activities of all men. One of them said, "My dear friends, considering His wonderful activities, how is it possible that such an uncommon boy would come and live with us in Vrindavan? It is really not possible. Just imagine. He is now only 7 years old. How is it possible for him to lift Govardhan Hill in one hand and hold it up just as the king of elephants holds a lotus flower? To lift a lotus flower is a most insignificant thing for an elephant. And similarly, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill without exertion. When he was simply a small baby and could not even see properly, he killed a great demon, Putana. While sucking her breast, he also sucked out her life air. Krishna killed the Putana demon exactly as eternal time kills a living creature in due course. When he was only 3 months old, he was sleeping underneath a hand-driven cart. Being hungry for his mother's breast, he began to cry and throw his legs upward. And from the kicking of his small feet, the cart immediately broke apart and fell to pieces. When he was only 1 year old, he was carried away by the Trinavarta demon, disguised as a whirlwind. And although he was taken very high into the sky, he simply hung on the neck of the demon and forced him to fall from the sky and immediately die. Once his mother, being disturbed by his stealing butter, tied him to a wooden mortar, and the child pulled it toward a pair of trees known as Yamala Arjuna and caused them to fall. Once, when he was engaged in tending the calves in the forest, along with his elder brother Balaram, a demon named Bakasura appeared, and Krishna at once bifurcated the demon's beak. When the demon known as Vatsasura entered among the calves tended by Krishna with a desire to kill him, he immediately detected the demon, killed him, and threw him into a tree. When Krishna, along with his brother Balaram, entered the Talavan forest, the demon known as Dhenukasura in the shape of an ass attacked them and was immediately killed by Balaram, who caught his hind legs and threw him into a palm tree. Although the Dhenukasura demon was assisted by his cohorts, also in the shape of asses, all were killed, and the Talavan forest was then open for the use of the animals and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Pralambasura entered amongst Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, Krishna caused him to be killed by Balaram. Thereafter, Krishna saved his friends and cows from a severe forest fire, and he chastised the Kaliya serpent in the lake of the Yamuna River and forced him to leave the vicinity of the Yamuna. He thereby made the water of the Yamuna poisonless. After one of the friends of Nanda Maharaj said, "My dear Nanda, we do not know why we are so attracted by your son Krishna. We want to forget him, but this is impossible. Why are we so naturally affectionate toward him? Just imagine how wonderful it is. On one hand, he is only a boy of 7 years. And on the other hand, there is a huge hill like Govardhan, and he lifted it so easily. O Nanda Maharaj, we are now in great doubt. Your son Krishna must be one of the demigods. He is not at all an ordinary boy. Maybe he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." On hearing the praises of the cowherd men in Vrindavan, King Nanda said, "My dear friends, in reply to you, I can simply present the statement of Garga Muni so that your doubts may be cleared. When he came to perform the name-giving ceremony, he said that this boy descends in different periods of time in different colors, and that this time he has appeared in Vrindavan in a blackish color known as Krishna. Previously, he had a white color, then a red color, then a yellow color. He also said that this boy was once the son of Vasudev, and everyone who knows of his previous birth calls him Vasudev. Actually, he said that my son has many varieties of names according to his different qualities and activities. Garga Acharya assured me that this boy would be all auspicious for my family, and that he would be able to give transcendental blissful pleasure to all the cowherd men and cows in Vrindavan. Even though we would be put into various kinds of difficulties, by the grace of this boy, we would be very easily freed from them. He also said that formerly this boy saved the world from an unregulated condition, and he saved all honest men from the hands of dishonest thieves. He also said that any fortunate man who becomes attached to this boy Krishna is never vanquished or defeated by his enemy. On the whole, he is exactly like Lord Vishnu, who always takes the side of the demigods, who are consequently never defeated by the demons." Garga Acharya thus concluded that my child would grow to be exactly like Vishnu in transcendental beauty, qualification, activities, influence, and opulence. And so, we should not be very astonished by his wonderful activities. After telling me this, Garga Acharya returned home, and since then we have been continually seeing the wonderful activities of this child. According to the version of Garga Acharya, I consider that he must be Narayan himself, or maybe a plenary portion of Narayan. When all the cowherd men had very attentively heard the statements of Gargacharya through Nanda Maharaj, they better appreciated the wonderful activities of Krishna and became very jubilant and satisfied. They began to praise Nanda Maharaj because by consulting him, their doubts about Krishna were cleared. They said, "Let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us." When angry Indra sent torrents of rain, accompanied by showers of ice blocks and a high wind, he immediately took compassion upon us and saved us and our families, cows, and valuable possessions by picking up Govardhan Hill, just as a child picks up a mushroom. He saved us so wonderfully. May he continue to glance mercifully over us and our cows. May we live peacefully under the protection of wonderful Krishna. And I would like to also bless all of you, my faithful followers, in the same way. May you all live peacefully under the protection of wonderful Krishna. So we are going to proceed to chapter 27, but before we do that, we're going to sing a bhajan. Here we go. And if you want to sing, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Namaste Narasinghaya. Prahlada Hladayani. Hiranya Kashipurvaksha. Shilatankanakalaye. Ito Nrasingha Padatu Nrasingha. Yato yato yamitato Nrasingha. Vahi Nrsingha, Hridaye Nrsingha. Nrsingham Madim, Sharanam Prapadye. Namaste Narasinghaya. Avokara Kamalavare Nakam Adabhuta Singham Dalita Hiranyakashipu Chanubringam Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jai Jagadisha Hare.
Jagadish, Jaya Jagadish Hari.
Any messages there from our faithful fans? Okay, boys and girls. Now we're going to read chapter 27 of Krishna Book, Prayers by Indra, the King of Heaven. When Krishna saved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra by lifting Govardhan Hill, Asura-bhikkhu from Goloka Vrindavan, as well as King Indra from the heavenly planets, appeared before him. Indra, the King of Heaven, was conscious of his offense before Krishna. Therefore, he stealthily appeared before him in a secluded place. He immediately fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna, although his own crown was dazzling like sunshine. Indra knew about the exalted position of Krishna, because Krishna is the master of Indra. But he could not believe that Krishna could come down and live in Vrindavan among the cowherd men. When Krishna defied the authority of Indra, Indra became angry because he thought he was all in all within this universe, and that no one was as powerful as he. But after this incident, his false puffed-up prestige was destroyed. Being conscious of his subordinate position, he appeared before Krishna with folded hands and began to offer the following prayers. My dear Lord, Indra said, being puffed up by my false prestige, I thought that you had offended me by not allowing the cowherd men to perform the Indra Yajna, and I thought that you wanted to enjoy the offerings that were arranged for the sacrifice. I thought that in the name of a Govardhan sacrifice, you were taking my share of the profit, and therefore I mistook your position. Now, by your grace, I can understand that you are the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, and that you are transcendental to all material qualities. Your transcendental position is Vishuddha Sattva, which is above the platform of the material mode of goodness, and your transcendental abode is beyond the disturbance of the material qualities. Your name, fame, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes are all beyond this material nature, and they are never disturbed by the three material modes. Your abode is accessible only for one who undergoes severe austerities and penances and becomes completely freed from the onslaught of material qualities like passion and ignorance. If someone thinks that when you enter within this material world, you accept the modes of material nature, he is mistaken. The waves of the material qualities are never able to touch you, and you certainly do not accept them when you are present within this world. Your lordship is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. My dear Lord, you are the original father of this cosmic manifestation. You are the supreme spiritual master of this cosmic world, and you are the original proprietor of everything. As eternal time, you are competent to chastise offenders. Within this material world, there are many fools like me who consider themselves to be the Supreme Lord, or the all-in-all within the universe. You are so merciful that without accepting their offenses, you devise means so that their false prestige is subdued, and they can know that you and no one else are the supreme, personality of Godhead. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Father, the Supreme Spiritual Master, and the Supreme King. Therefore, you have the right to chastise all living entities whenever there is any discrepancy in their behavior. The Father, the Spiritual Master, and the Supreme Executive Officer of the State are always well-wishers of their sons, their students, and their citizens respectfully. As such, the well-wishers have the right to chastise their dependents. By your own desire, you appear auspiciously on the earth in your eternal varieties of forms. You come to glorify this earthly planet and specifically to chastise persons who are falsely claiming to be God. In this material world, there is regular competition between different types of living entities to become supreme leaders of society. And after being frustrated in achieving the supreme positions of leadership, foolish persons claim to be God, the Supreme Personality. There are many such foolish personalities in this world, like me. But in due course of time, when they come to their senses, they surrender unto you and again engage themselves properly by rendering service unto you. And that is the purpose of your chastising persons envious of you. My dear Lord, I committed a great offense unto your lotus feet, being falsely proud of my material opulences, not knowing your unlimited power. Therefore, my Lord, kindly excuse me, because I am fool number one. Kindly give me your blessings, so that I may not act so foolishly again. If you think, my Lord, that the offense is very great and cannot be excused, then I appeal to you that I am your eternal servant. You appear in this world to give protection to your eternal servants and to destroy the demons who maintain great military strength just to burden the very existence of the earth. As I am your eternal servant, kindly excuse me. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the Supreme Person and the Supreme Soul. You are the Son of Vasudeva, and you are the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Master of all pure devotees. Please accept my prostrated obeisances. You are the personification of supreme knowledge. You can appear anywhere according to your desire, in any one of your eternal forms. You are the root of all creation and the supreme soul of all living entities. And due to my gross ignorance, I created a great disturbance in Vrindavan by sending torrents of rain and a heavy hailstorm. I acted out of severe anger caused by your stopping the sacrifice which was to be held to satisfy me. But, my dear Lord, you are so kind to me that you have bestowed your mercy upon me by destroying all my false pride. I therefore take shelter of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, you are not only the Supreme Controller, but also the Spiritual Master of all living entities. Thus praised by Indra, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, smiled beautifully and then replied in a grave voice like a rumbling cloud. my dear Indra, I stopped your sacrifice just to show you my causeless mercy and to remind you that I am your eternal master. I am the master not only of you, but of all the other demigods as well. You should always remember that all your material opulences are due to my mercy. No living entity can independently become opulent. One must be favored by my mercy. Everyone should always remember that I am the Supreme Lord. I can show anyone my favor, and I can chastise anyone, because no one is superior to me. If I find someone overpowered by false pride, in order to show him my causeless mercy, I withdraw all his opulences. It is noteworthy that Krishna sometimes removes all of a rich man's opulences in order to facilitate his becoming a soul surrendered to him. This is a special favor of the Lord's. Sometimes it is seen that a person is very opulent materially, but due to his devotional service to the Lord, he may be reduced to poverty. One should not think, however, that because he worshipped the Supreme Lord, he became poverty-stricken. The real purport is that when a person is a pure devotee, but at the same time, by miscalculation, wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord shows his special mercy by taking away all material opulences until at last he surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. After instructing Indra, Lord Krishna asked him to return to his kingdom in the heavenly planets and to remember always that he is never the Supreme, but is always subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also advised him to remain as King of Heaven, but to be careful of false pride. After this, the transcendental Surabhi cow, who had come with Indra to see Krishna, offered her respectful obeisances unto him and worshipped him. The Surabhi offered her prayer as follows. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the most powerful of all mystic yogis. Because you are the soul of the complete universe, and only from you has this cosmic manifestation taken place. Therefore, although Indra tried his best to kill my descendant cows in Vrindavan, they remained under your shelter, and you have protected them all so well. We do not know anyone else as the Supreme, nor do we go to any other god or demigods for protection. Therefore, you are our Indra. You are the Supreme Father of the whole cosmic manifestation, and you are the protector and elevator of all the cows, Brahmins, demigods, and others who are pure devotees of your lordship. O Super Soul of the universe, let us bathe you with our milk, for you are our Indra. O Lord, you appear just to diminish the burden of impure activities on the earth. Then the Surabhi cow bathed Krishna with her milk, and Indra bathed him with the water of the celestial Ganges through the trunk of his carrier elephant. After this, the Surabhi cows and all the demigods and their mothers joined the heavenly King Indra in worshipping Lord Krishna by bathing him with Ganges water and the milk of the Surabhis. Thus Govinda, Lord Krishna, was pleased with all of them. The residents of all higher planetary systems, such as Gandharva Loka, Vidyadhara Loka, Siddha Loka, and Charana Loka, all combined and glorified the Lord by chanting His holy name as their wives and damsels danced with great joy. They very much satisfied the Lord by incessantly pouring flowers from the sky. When everything was very nicely and joyfully settled, the cows overflooded the surface of the earth with their milk. The water of the rivers began to flow with various tasty liquids and give nourishment to the trees, producing fruits and flowers in different colors and tastes. The trees began to pour drops of honey. The hills and mountains began to produce potent medicinal plants and valuable stones. Because of Krishna's presence, all these things happened very nicely, and the lower animals, who are generally envious of one another, were envious no longer. After satisfying Krishna, who is the Lord of all the cows in Vrindavan, and who is known as Govinda, King Indra took his permission to return to his heavenly kingdom. As he passed through cosmic space, he was surrounded by all kinds of demigods. This great incident is a powerful example of how Krishna consciousness can benefit the whole world. Even the lower animals forget their envious nature and become elevated to the qualities of the demigods. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 27th chapter of Krishna entitled Prayers by Indra, the King of Heaven.